You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Tuesday, 31 October, Bank of Japan keeps rates at minus 0.1% and adjusts its stimulus to allow long-term yields to edge higher. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Chantal Marks from F&B Wealth and Investments. That corp results, margins get squeezed. And I want to have a quick check back with her on the clicks and numbers. Fazal Rafi, he's from Riskira. He had a recent trip to China to get a sense on how the economy is faring. We'll get some insights from him. And then Marnie from Skulkvag, talking around frauds that are going to be coming through now around tax-related scams now that returns have been submitted. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from News 24. African Bank's new acquisition caught up in fraud drama. This is related to the Grindrod Bank acquisition of last year. And Business Day, JC on track for third monthly loss in a row. Gold shares buck the trend. Morning markets. US was green. S&P up 1.2%. NASDAQ up 1.1%. Over in the East, things are red. Sydney down 0.4% and Tokyo down 0.2%. Commodities mostly red. Gold, $2,004. Brent, $87.81. Platinum, the green, $9.39. And palladium, $1,133. Rand is $18.91. Bitcoin, $34,300. 10 cent off 2% in Hong Kong. And top 40 opening call, 40 points to the red. That is less than 0.1% down.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Joining now with Chantal Marks. She is, of course, Head of Research, F&B Wealth and Investments. Chantal, appreciate the early morning. At corp results site yesterday, this was a stock that a decade ago I really thought had great potential, great CEO. But we saw margins getting squeezed here. We saw a share price that has been 40 Rand, now under 5 Rand. Is there opportunity here, or is this one perhaps best left alone in its own place?
It's a difficult question, Simon. So I actually think that the company has turned itself around quite nicely. And I mean, a few years ago, when you just mentioned a company that was in the employment arena in South Africa, you would have just grimaced, because I mean, it's just a very difficult space to be in, given that we have structurally high unemployment, and with the disruption of COVID-19, the kind of the base level of that structurally high unemployment has actually just been made even higher. The company is also exposed to Australia, though, so there is a little bit of diversification there from a geographic perspective. There, the employment market is a little bit healthier. But what you're dealing with now is, I would say, a cyclical impact on margins. So they have two types of placement markets that they play in. Of course, they have other things that they do as well, like training, which is a really great area that they've diversified into over the last few years, making their business less cyclical. But effectively, they have permanent placements and they have temporary placements. Now, when the market is softish, like it is right now, and the outlook is very uncertain, then they tend to place a lot more kind of contract workers and a lot less permanent workers. And that has an impact on margins. It's higher margin to place someone permanently than it is to just get someone hired for a few months. And that's where I think the main margin issue is coming from. So I would say what we're seeing right now is temporary. The stock is super cheap, but buyer beware. This is a cyclical stock. So it depends on where you get involved, and it's important to know when you want to get out.
Yeah, that's a great point. Why you're in and when are you going to get out? I want to touch base with you quickly on clicks. The results came out Thursday, but we've chatted some of the other sort of consumer stocks locally. I got to say, I mean, I thought there was lots to like around that clicks number, most notably a 2.5 billion cash on the balance sheet. I mean, just numbers galore. I mean, clicks is doing nicely, and the stock was rewarded with a good uplift.
Yes, so, I mean, we spoke about Adcorp that is susceptible to cyclical downturns. Clicks is just an exceptionally defensive business. So you have the fact that they are very exposed to pharmaceuticals, where demand really isn't driven by outside economic factors unless you're in an extreme situation. So that business continues to tick along nicely. They also benefit from the lipstick effect. So when people are down and out and they feel they don't have much disposable income, they're still spending money on personal goods like makeup and personal hygiene products. So this really came through in this set of numbers as well. We really liked it. The stock has been under pressure for quite some time. Obviously, since the results came out, it's done quite well. And I think this is such a nice one. It still doesn't look expensive relative to its history or its peers. There are structural growth drivers here. And technically, it also looks quite decent.
We'll leave that there. That's Sean Tomark, Head of Research, FNB Wealth and Investments. Always appreciate the insights.
Hear that? Nothing. Your money can do more when it blocks out the noise, as hard as it is these days. When you invest in the Stanley Balanced Cautious Fund, we manage the risks so that you can see stable inflation-beating returns through market cycles. Invest with more certainty at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib is an authorized financial services provider and a registered manager.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Fazal Rafi. He's head of global research at Riskira. Fazal, appreciate the time today. The Chinese economy disappointing in 2023, although third quarter certainly was boosted by surprises. You've had a recent trip to Shanghai and Beijing. What was your sense from being on the ground in China in terms of their economic recovery?
Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to chat to you. So really appreciate that. The trip, really from a bottom-up perspective, was very, very different to what we see and read in the news. Really, I think the economic numbers have been poor, and they have been poor for, I guess, a couple of reasons. Number one, you've got a situation that, you know, the Chinese economy was coming out of one of the harshest COVID lockdowns, where the entire country was, you know, switched off for vast majority of last year. Where the difference really comes from to experiences in the Western world, there were no big checks paid out to individuals and savings built out. So, you know, a little bit like other emerging market economies, you know, the normal person on the street, you know, had to get through these COVID lockdowns, you know, without jobs, without earning money. That's number one. Number two, the other thing that the Chinese had observed from the experiences of the West was blind stimulus that we saw in Europe and the USA left a very big overhang, where we are experiencing high inflation rates coming up. If you think about if that was to happen in China and there was, you know, 10% plus inflation, people would come out on the streets. You know, and this is the world's largest population, and that is something that was not something that the Communist Party could tolerate. So as a result, they've also been very, very reserved in providing the stimulus, which is, just to be clear, it is needed. There does need to be fiscal stimulus pumped into the economy to get it going, which is coming through now. And I'm not sure if you've picked up in the last few days, you know, President Xi himself paid a visit and, you know, kind of reiterated the stimulus is coming. And as a result, you might have seen that global markets have been falling in the last few days, whereas the Chinese market has been flat. So that is coming. So that's kind of one part of the story. The second one is, of course, the real estate story. Just to be clear, the real estate issue really is not in cities like Shanghai and Beijing. That's not where. And, you know, 60 to 70% of the entire real estate market has been stable. Prices may have fallen a little bit. Where it's really been an issue is in the smaller cities, where prices went up a lot and came down quite a bit. And that's where there was a lot of speculative development going on. And we're seeing the kind of the issues that we read in the news. But again, this is part of a well-marked objective of the Chinese government to shift the economy's reliance on the real estate sector which is a big, big part of the total Chinese economy over the previous decades, poo an economy that's driven by a consumer market. And so the deleveraging of the real estate sector has been happening for a long time. What happened, I guess, last year was a double whammy effect where the government was trying to press down and deliver the real estate sector. And then there was a double whammy with COVID lockdowns coming up. So the real estate sector got hurt a lot more than intended. The real opportunity, and if you go to cities like Shanghai and Beijing, when you see the real investment opportunities driven by kind of three themes. One, the world's largest population, consuming products which are, made by local companies, and they're getting better and better up the quality spectrum. Second one, manufacturing industry becoming from the world's largest and cheapest to the world's largest and best in class, which is a really exciting area. And then thirdly is how innovation is changing. So, you talk about, so if the consumer internet story is over, and you're not going to get more Tencent than Alibaba's coming in the Chinese market, then where is innovation coming? And that was also very exciting. We met some of the best venture capital managers who have created companies like Tencent and Alibaba in the past. And what they are doing today was also very remarkable. And seeing that was really, really eye-opening.
Fazal Rafi, Head of Global Research with Kira, appreciate the insights there. And that's our question today, our poll on LinkedIn and Twitter. You think China's turning the corner on economic data? I mean, we've seen, some improvements, but not massive jumps, just sort of edging in the right direction. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and X.
When you stay invested over time in StanLib's Global Multi-Strategy Diversified Growth Fund, your money's in for some smooth sailing. With our global partners, JP Morgan Asset Management, at the helm, your money can withstand the pressure and bad weather day-to-day market conditions cause. All aboard? Seek more returns at stanlib.com/more. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Taking with Moni van Schalkwyk, CEO of Southern African Fraud Prevention Service. Moni, appreciate the time today. Taxpayer season has just ended. People have submitted, all things being equal. Now the fraudsters are going to start coming out, I suspect. What sort of scams can we expect to see around tax filing?
Yes, well, what we are seeing is usually before the deadline of submitting your tax form, we see fraudsters very active, and also after the deadline. So just typically what will happen is before the deadline, you will receive an SMS or a WhatsApp from the fraudsters that say your tax return is still outstanding. Click on the link to check if you have submitted it. It gets us all a little bit frightened. We click on the link and you go down a route where you divulge a lot of information about yourself, which then makes you a victim of identity theft. And we also see it after the deadline of providing your information to SARS, and you expecting a payout or not, but you will get an SMS to say we will refund you or a payout is due to you. And again, the magic thing, click on this link. And the moment you click on that link, you will divulge a lot of information and your banking information as well, which makes you either a victim of taking over an account or people using your details to open an account with your details.
That's the point, because I thought they were going after your credit card, but actually your point is they're going after your deeper details, because you're going to give a lot to a company or someone who you think is SARS. This becomes identity theft. This becomes they go and open an account in my name, run it up, and suddenly I've got creditors after me.
100%. And worse is that they take over your bank account and deduct money from there.
The lesson is simple. We shouldn't be clicking on links at all. But you've set up a service, a website, to effectively report scams. Talk us through this.
Yes, we started a service called YIMA, Y-I-M-A. And YIMA means stop or take it slower. And the idea is for consumers to go to YIMA to educate themselves, number one, about scams. And we highlight scams in specific time periods of the tax scams will be highlighted now. Secondly, it would provide a tool for consumers to report scams so we can pick up quick trends of new scams developing. And we also provide certain tools free of charge to consumers that they can download a piece of software, and that if they're standing on a fraudulent website, that we warn them. We actually provide them a confidence level about websites. So we provide them with certain tools that they can equip themselves in the fight against these scams.
Are you then also sharing this information with law enforcement? And are they able to do much? I imagine the scammers, and they might not even be within our borders.
Yes, of course. And you're 100% correct. But we do need consumers to report that to law enforcement. And we've got a hotline that if you are, you know, a victim of a scam and you think your bank account has been compromised, then you can phone this number. There we give you a link directly to the police, to speak to the police, to report it, to make it easier for consumers to report. And also a one-stop line there to your various banks so that you can report if your card or your bank account have been compromised so that they can stop it for you. Because, you know, part of the scam modus operandi is that when they phone you like they are phoning from the bank.
Yeah.
And they will say, well, if you think it's a scam, then phone this number, and then we can confirm that, you know, I'm real. But they give you a scammer's telephone number. And that is what we're trying to prevent by providing this centralized number.
A last question. I mean, is there sort of a scamming season? I mean, it obviously changes. Now it's around tax submissions and the like. Or is there just a general, I imagine, fairly high level of attempted scamming out there?
Yes, I think we've got every season of that. You know, this is now the tax one. The next one will definitely be the Black Friday scams. Where we see prices of stuff ridiculously low, and usually that is on Facebook Marketplace, so be careful of that. Then, you know, you get your romance scam, which peaks in February. It's very predictable. You can see how it grows, the back-to-school scams. So definitely seasonal, but never be surprised, people. These scammers are specifically very creative, and the normal ones right through the year would be the normal doggy scams, investment scams, those kind of pay up front scams for a service. We see that the whole time.
Yeah, and the short answer is, if it's too good to be true, it's not, and don't click links. We'll leave it there. Money from Skalkwyk, CEO, Southern African Fraud Prevention Service. Appreciate the time. That's it for today. We're chatting with Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth yesterday. Gold looks set to close for its highest monthly close ever. Of course, today is the last day of the month, so there's still some hours to go. We asked you if you hold some gold in your portfolio as insurance. Nick was like, absolutely, their preferred was Anglo Gold Ashanti. Almost 40% of you say, yeah, you've got some gold miners. You like them. And at this point, as I said up in the intro, it's been a tough month in the local market, but the gold stocks have been doing fairly well. That would have given you some green. Just under a third said no, gold is old school. The rest say a gold ETF is for you. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and X. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb websites and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobokhle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. Cash as an asset class.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the money.